Mighty name, Lord. And thank you for your goodness and for your mercy upon us. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. All right. Glad to see each one this morning. I'm glad the weather, sometimes I'm glad someone misses it. I'm glad the weather man or the woman that tells the weather missed it this morning, because it was supposed to be one of the colder days we had this year, and all kinds of things. It may still happen, some of that, but it turned out to be good, didn't it? It turned out all right, and we praise God for it, and we just thank God. He knows what he's doing. Now today, we're reading, first of all, which will be reading several places, from the 16th chapter of the book of Matthew. And I want to take a little thought today. You'll see as we go along, we'll reach and include other scriptures. And any scripture we use, I've used before, I guess, around a lot of them, because I've read the Bible from front to back more times than I can count nearly. I used to do it when I get through one time, I thought, but then I found out as we go along, it gets more specific to the time and hour that we're living in. And some of the Old Testament scriptures don't apply to us as we're living today. It had its place and they were fulfilled, and some of them are yet to be fulfilled that don't involve us individually. And it's a great blessing when you realize God sent a messenger to the wife of the Lamb, starting with the Gentile, and then the Jews were included, which was St. Paul. So we're reading in the 16th chapter here, and we're going to entitle a message, and we don't always bind ourselves to this particular title, sometimes we'll add to, or we'll work it a little different as we go along, because we try to be led by the Spirit, say. Amen. But I want to take the thought like this. There is nothing more powerful than the Word whose time has come to be fulfilled. There's nothing more powerful than the Word or the gospel or message whose time has come to be fulfilled. And we take, and as we, my thought here is, I'll give you a little heads up on it. My thoughts here is that as we read the Word of God, we see certain things come into being, and it looked like sometimes it wouldn't be, but it so happened that the Word prevailed and everything worked out, and it was just like it was supposed to be, see? Amen. And we look at that about as Jonah was 3 days and nights in the belly of the whale, so will the Son of Man be in there. That laid there many, many years, and nobody knew exactly what it was. Amen. But then one day it came to pass. And Jesus was speaking and telling his disciples, I'll go to Jerusalem, I'll be the Son of Man, be crucified, and after 3 days he'll rise from death. Well, he did that exactly, but, you know, it was holding from them, the word, King James says holding, or conceal the meaning of it and what he was saying. And then that's when on the way to the Emmaus, those disciples, you know, when Jesus began to talk to them, and they were telling Jesus, oh, this man we thought was him. If we had our courage up, we thought for sure that the Messiah had come, you know. And Jesus began to tell him, begin with Moses and begin to bring in, show those places where it was indicated what would happen, and showed that it happened just like. And then he finished up by saying, thou fool, how is it that you cannot believe what the prophet says? Why can't you believe the word? And then that's when he went in the house. I'm not going through the story. I love that story, so I don't want to get started on it there. But went in the house and he made himself known to him. And then they said, did not our heart burn within us? That's what he was telling us, and we weren't getting it, see. And they went to the others. But the thing is, he came and did exactly what the word said. but it weren't made known till that time. And one of my scriptures that I used oftentimes, or in the past more so now you can see it in about every scripture. The story was, I was reading the Bible, and I was reading in the St. John. Well, the people at the church in South Carolina had given me a new Bible, so I usually mark some places and so on like that. It's been years ago. But I was reading, I read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, getting through the New Testament, getting my places, because the pages were coming out, and I guess they thought, this preacher really needs a Bible. So we got over that, and I was reading. Then I got St. John chapter 2 in the evening, late in the evening, and I just left it there. So I said, I'll pick up right here. I read chapter 1, and I said, well, it's getting late, so I'll just leave this. So I got up the next morning, and when I started reading again, I read St. John down through there, and chapter 2, begin reading. And lo and behold, when I got to St. John 2:22, then I read it, and those two ands began to rise up and go back down on the page. Now, I know they can do that by computer and stuff now. But back in those days, it were not so much so. But those, and then they come right back and lay on the word. And I said, there is something there that I'm not seeing. So I begin to read again, and they believed the scripture. It says, when he was risen from the dead. Notice, when he was risen from the dead, St. John 2:22. When he was risen from the dead, then it says, and they believed the scripture. And then the next and the word that he said unto me. Well, those two ands were what going up and down, see. Amen. So the thought came, and it was very easily to get the. There's two ands to it. First, and is a written word, and they believe the scripture. But then the second and was, and they believe what he said unto them. Amen. Meaning the scripture has to be quickened. Now you get that word quickened in I believe it's in the second chapter of Ephesians. Paul kept talking about quickened. Well, quicken means you see it in a way you've never saw it before. Amen. There are several places about quicken, the word being quicken. And that's what I'm praying that the word will do today, that it'll be quickened to us. Amen. Otherwise, we're reading and God will always quicken. I like that word. I've never preached on quicken like that. But God will always quicken the part to you that is for your time and your day, and that you're to fulfill. See? Yeah. Amen. So again, the title here is, there is nothing more powerful than the word whose time has come to be fulfilled. At that time, it ceases to be just the letter of the word. It come alive. It began to come into being. Everything it says will do, it will be just like it's written. Hallelujah. When the time, now notice that's important, when the time has come for it to be fulfilled, it become the most powerful force in the world. There's nothing can stop it. Amen. So let's read here in Matthew 16. I believe we'll just start with verse 1 here. Jesus talking to the Pharisees, it says, and let's pray for Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, as we come to you with your word open before us, we know that you're the author of the word, and we know, Lord, that you're the only one that can give the correct and precise meaning. And as Paul said, our sufficient has to be of you, Lord. So I pray you grant that not only to me, but to the hearers. And we'll be so careful to praise you for it in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, this Matthew 16 and 1 says, the Pharisees also with the Sadducees came and tempting him desired that he would show them a sign from heaven. Now watch, they came tempting. They weren't interested in a sign from heaven. I want you to notice that the Pharisees and Sadducees, they They went about their mission in life at that time seemed to be something to come against Jesus and do something and get him in a tight spot, you know. Amen. But God always gave the victory. But watch what Jesus said, verse 2. He answered and said unto them, when it is evening, ye say, it shall be fair weather, for the sky is red. They knew the natural thing. And then what? And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. Then watch what he said. O ye hypocrites. And he talked more boldly than we do, but we certainly like for him to bring it down so we'll know. O ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but ye cannot discern the signs of the time. Now I want you to watch. That's the way it is. People, they know a lot about the natural thing. They can discern what's taking place here and what's taking place there and all. But the signs of the time, there he was, right there among them. And as it said often that he was sitting there in the midst and they sang about him, preached about the coming of Messiah, and there he was, and they couldn't read the signs. They didn't know. See, and the thing is, can we read the sign today of the coming of the Lord, the rapture, the translation, and all these things? Amen. Because once the time come for it, nothing can stop it. And whatever takes place doesn't hinder it to the point that it will be delayed, say. Amen. It will come to pass. See, if you're the Messiah, and then he goes on and he kind of rebukes me. A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall be no sign given unto it, but the sign of the prophet Jonah. And he left them and departed. Amen. Now, they didn't know what that meant. And we probably wouldn't either at that particular time. But after the season come for it to be, see, he had a 3.5 year preaching to go on. He just left them, didn't bother going into any detail. He just said, that's the only sign you're going to get. Amen. But they missed that sign. And it's very clear that they did, because on the day of Pentecost, they went about to try to stomp out his name. But even before them, the soldiers that guarded the tomb, they paid them sums of money, saying, if anybody want to know what happened, you tell them that the disciples came and stole him by night. And if it comes to the ear of the authorities, we'll protect you, see. We can't let this get out among the people we put him in the tomb, and 3 days later he's not there. This just cannot be. So we got to stop it. See, there were certain things taking place, the word being fulfilled, and there was an external force trying to cover it up, trying to hinder it, but the resurrection took place right on time. Amen. And everything began to fall into place because it had come time for the word to be fulfilled. Can you say amen? Amen. There's another one of these in Luke, says basically the same thing, but a couple more words different that I'd like to read here in the mouth of two or three witnesses. This is in 12, Luke chapter 12. And I like Luke's writing. And he's one that walked with Paul. He's one that wrote the book of Acts. I just like the way he worded things many times, maybe even more so than some of the others. But all the Word of God's inspired. The way God fixed this Word, you got to read it all of the four Gospels, because some tell certain things that the others don't even tell. So in the book of Luke, the 12th chapter, I'm finding it here. Don't have a marker. Just happened to think of this one here. Amen. We'll get right to it. But it's so great what the Lord's doing. Amen. All right. I believe we'll read in 50. Oh, my page stuck together here. And if I get trying to hurry, it'll be like trying to tie my tie when I get in a hurry. I can tie it four times. It's still, come out. All right. I believe we'll begin reading verse. I'll start verse 54. It says, "And he said also to the people, when you see a cloud rise out of the, okay, that page still stuck together, hindering me here. Bear with me, please. Coming out of the west, yeah. When you see a cloud rise out of the west, straightway you say, there comes a shower. And now watch what he said, and so is it." They could read the signs just exactly right, see. Amen. And generally, the weather people read the signs pretty well. Amen. But there's a lot of signs they can't read. And the denominational churches can't read the sign. And when we come through the church ages, there's so many times when God moved the pendulum over, or moved the hand over, we'll say, like on the clock, moved it over, they couldn't move with it. Therefore, they built them a denomination and stayed with that. And, of course, that we see that right now in the last messages that God has given. People just say, "We're going to stay with this. This man said this, or that man said that." And I don't want to get in details on that, because that's not the point here. But notice, they said, "There cometh a shower." And it was so. And the verse 55, "And when you see the south wind blow." I don't know much about the winds blowing. I would have trouble with that. I'll tell you why. I have difficulties. Somebody said to you west or east or something like that. I have difficulties of knowing which way is west and which way is north, you know. So when they said, Jesus said, "And when you see the south wind blow, you say, there will be heat. And it cometh to pass." Now, I want you to watch. It comes to pass. They had that down pat. They knew what they were talking about here, and they got it right. But now, that's the natural thing. That's a natural man. But there was something going on all the time right among them. And that's the point. There was something going on right among them. And they rubbed elbows with it every day, we would say. And yet, they didn't read the signs correctly on that. Only the natural sign. You have to be in the spirit to read the spiritual sign. And one of my favorite books on that is 1 Corinthians, the second chapter. He says, "No man knoweth the things of God except that be revealed to him, except the Holy Ghost reveal." Said, the natural man knoweth the things of the natural man, and says, there's the spirit of a natural man, he knows those things. But the spirit of God no man knoweth except God reveals it, say. Amen. So we want to get that good and clear here, that we operate in a natural world. And the natural world, we need to know some of the natural things in life. How to make a living, how to drive a car, how to do this, especially in this society, and the many different things. But we have to know, amen, there's something about life besides this. Amen. There's a spiritual move of God. There's a spiritual Christ walking among us. Amen. And those are the things we don't want to miss, because God fulfills a certain portion of that word, and he'll fulfill it, and he'll slip right through you. Watch these people here that Jesus is talking to. There he was, the very Son of God, amen, with a very Christ in him that was assistant in creating the heaven and the earth. See, that word, and yet they knew him not, see. Hallelujah. Now watch the next one. You'll say, it's going to be heat today, and so it is. Verse 56, "Oh, you hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky and the earth. Here you had the earth, see. You can discern the face of the sky and the earth. But how is it that you do not discern this time? This time. Watch that. How is it you don't discern this? Everybody say this. Hey, man, this is important. What's the problem? Hey, what's the problem here that you can't discern this time? See, the very God of heaven was fulfilling that part of the word, and that was the part that was the most powerful part in the world. Amen. Amen, because the time had come. Amen, for the word to be fulfilled, and there's no power on earth. Amen. It says, there's nothing more powerful than the word whose time has come to be fulfilled. There's not, that means whatever it says, you can have faith. You can rest confidently that this is what's going to be, see. Now, there are certain things, signs of the time that in the natural that can direct us to what's taking place in the spiritual. When we look at what's going on in the Middle East, when we look at what's going on with Russia, we look at what's going on with the Pope, and all these things, it puts us into a place where we can see this, it's natural, we can discern it, and we know basically what's going to be because it's laid out in the Word. But then there's something else taking place. The very Christ, now watch this, the very Christ that was within Jesus, that become part of Jesus, amen, that caused Jesus to become Jesus the Christ, he came back in Revelation chapter 10, and brought with him a little book in which was our portion of the book of redemption. Amen. I won't correct something here, not necessarily correct, but I just misspoke it just a bit. I said one time, we know Satan one time had the power over all the earth here, and he was a ruler, and he could say, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, and there was nothing like him. He had that anointing. The Bible says, God's Word says he was that anointed cherub. In other words, that anointing was upon him. But over perhaps millions of years, I don't know, I'm not going to get in those numbers because there's no way of telling. See, but over time, he began to get lifted up. The Bible says he began to say, I will lift my throne above the stars. In other words, this earth ain't enough for me. I want to take over this up here too, see. I'll just move my throne up here above the stars. And Ezekiel brought that in. Ezekiel 28, I believe it is. And in the book of Isaiah 14, brought it in how that he would be. Well, he had that anointing upon him. Well, see, he had the title deed, we would say, to this earth. Now, not the book of... the title deed and the book of redemption became the same. Amen. When God created mankind on the earth, say. Amen. But he had the title deed and he lost it. Amen. Because he weren't happy with what he had. And how many times today people aren't happy if God give you a revelation, God give you this, God blesses you, and God give you peace that passes all understanding. God give you all these things. Amen. Let's rest in the Lord, see, and be ready to walk in the light of the Word. But Satan, he wanted to get lifted up. Well, he sinned. He began to tell the angel, we'll take over this thing. We can do a better job than God can. We're going to fundamentally change this thing. Are you reading me? We're going to fundamentally change the USA. Just get it right down. Amen. Well, see, the thing is, he got a lot of them angels to go along with him. And, of course, he was going to overthrow the whole thing, just take over himself. See, when he abused that authority God gave him, God took the title deed from the earth away, and of course it said to spin in the outer darkness. We don't know what all took place there, but in Genesis he says, let the light begin to shine again. Oh, I'm telling you, in this last day, the light has begun to shine again. Amen. And when Jesus came, the people that sat in darkness, the Bible says they saw a great light. Hallelujah. Amen. And Jesus is the light of the world. And before he left, he said, you're a city set on the hill. You're the light of the world. Amen. So this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine on you. Praise God. But he lost it. But then it was given to Adam. Now here's where the redemption. There's no redemption for those angels that were living in perfect light, see. That's finished. And the Bible says they're reserved in chains of darkness until the judgment of that day. In other words, they're in darkness and can't come into light. Amen. Just like Jesus gave the parables there, and when the in the Matthew's the 13th chapter, about those that would reject and come against, and those that would do damage, and those that wouldn't accept truth, see. Amen. Then eventually, when it reached a certain point, he said unto them, at that point, says, he gave order to cast them into outer darkness. Now, that's not darkness that you're born with. That's not just a normal dark world you're born in. This is cast into outer darkness where there's no exit on that road. It's just you can't, in other words, you can't get off that road. Amen. And so the thing is, in this hour that we're living in, amen, God's got a truth, and it's so powerful, it's so real. And yet when Paul spoke of these things, he said, it's made known to me the mystery that's been hid in God from the foundation of the world, see. So some of these things been hid in God. He said, but now it's made known, amen, and us. So we look at these things that we're looking at here, how that God moved and he gave victory and he overthrowed the Satan. And then the title deed of the earth went back to the original giver. And that original giver was God. Then he began another creation. Amen. He created a man. He created a man, then animals. And I'm not going to go through the sequence of how it all was created. But then he gave Adam and Eve. Notice Adam and Eve, not just Adam. He gave Adam and Eve, amen, the whole thing. He told them to multiply, replenish the earth, and he gave them authority over all these things, over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the weather, everything. He gave it to them. Now, the title deed for the earth was in the hand of one Adam. And the Bible says he's the Son of God. Thank you, Luke, for writing that down. Amen. He was the Son of God. God gave it to him. Well, the devil was so mad he could eat nails. Amen. So he set about a way to get Adam to sin like he did. Not in the same similitude, but to sin against God. Well, Adam, he couldn't. He'll use whatever thing he gone through. He came through the serpent first, then through Eve, and then to Adam. Amen. Then Adam yielded, of course, to temptation. We've been over that so much, everybody knows that anyway. Adam, he broke the word of God, and he ate of that tree of knowledge that was presented to him. Amen. In other words, there's two things in the Bible that's opposite, knowledge and faith. And they can, knowledge and faith can go together if it's godly knowledge. Our old brother James, that wrote the book, said if you like wisdom, he said there's carnal wisdom, natural wisdom, but say if you want the spiritual wisdom of God, ask God who giveth to all liberally and abradeth not, see. There's a godly wisdom, amen, that helps us take and use this word of God the way he ordained it to be used. But going back to what Adam said, He lost it. He sinned against God. Then God, right there, he began to redeem his family, because Adam, Satan knew what he was doing. He was in perfect light. Adam was the son of God. He was learning and like that. And the way it works, Adam sinned, and he told him there, the day you eat thereof, that day you shall die. See, if you eat of this knowledge, because God wants faith, and I'll tell you this today, if you just want to eat of knowledge, there is spiritual death in the wings for you. Amen. It takes faith. It takes revelation. Amen. And Paul said we go from faith to faith, from revelation to revelation. And John says we walk in the light as he is in the light. It means we keep moving with God. But the point is, Adam fell. Instead of God killing Adam, what Satan thought, and giving the book to Satan, which at he was Lucifer in the beginning. Amen. He didn't give it to Lucifer, but he took it from Adam, took it back from Adam, and took it into glory. That's what's sealed up in the right hand of him sitting on the throne in the book of Revelation chapter 5. Amen. So now the book, the title deed and the book of redemption become the same. Amen. So I wanted to clear that up, because Satan didn't have the, Lucifer didn't have the book of redemption. He had a title deed. Amen. But now the title deed for the earth, Adam lost his power to speak to the weather, to speak to this, and to speak the word, to name the animals, and the fish and the sea, and all nature began to come against. And that day, on that day when Adam sinned against God, the earth began to do something it hadn't done before in his time. It began to bear thorns and thistles, and the earth began to work against them. Then they had to work the ground. They had to do all these things. Amen. That day thorns and thistles were born, and we still got a lot of thorns and thistles today. But in the spiritual realm, in the body of Christ, there is no thorns and thistles. Can you say amen? In this old body, we get our punches and all that, but God's taking care of that, because we'll have a new body. We'll, praise the Lord, we'll have a new life. Say amen. Amen. As I don't know how good this will fit, but I thought about it like this. See, our soul is redeemed, sealed till the day of redemption. We're baptized into the body of Christ, and nothing can touch us. And we are not tossed to and fro and carried about. Amen. So we're safe in the body of Christ. The soul has been baptized into the body of Christ and is 100% saved. Amen. But there is a birth for the old body that we hadn't received yet. And I'm just saying that without studying the word birth out into this point. But I'm, you know what I mean. Yeah, I'm hoping it fits good, because it does. It'll see, as we were born, had to be born again in the spirit, this old body's got to be born again. Amen. Because your salvation is not complete unless and until that you receive a body that's glorified, one like unto his own glorious body. Hallelujah. And that's the promise of God, and we're going to read just a little bit about that. And then Jesus goes on here a little more about this year, but that gets the highlights of what I wanted to do. Amen. You can read all the natural things. Hey, you've got it together, we'll say. That's the saying today. If somebody got it together real good on the natural things and all, hey, that person got it together. But then that has nothing to do with whether you have it together spiritually or not. Someone can read all the signs, make the right prediction, and like some of these on this political campaign going on today. Some of them say they tapped into the spirit of the, tapped into something here and got it going like they want. But that has nothing to do with tapping into the spirit of God. You don't tap into it. Amen. You're brought into it by the spirit of God. Amen. And you might be able to read. And they'll say that person can read the people. They can read the person and read the what's going on. They can come right in on. That's what these religious people here, they could read things so good that Jesus said, you can tell the sky, you can tell if it's going to rain, you can tell if it's going to be warm, you can tell this and you can tell that. Amen. But said you cannot read the signs of the time. If you could, you would recognize the Son of God right among you now, he said. Amen. I'll say, if we can read the signs of the time right, we can read all the religious signs. If we can read the signs of the time just right, we know there's a trumpet blowing, and it blows and it hits right perfectly in line with what Paul prayed. Amen. Amen. That where he prophesied again, last week's message was that prophecy is refreshed. Amen. And brought into being. That trumpet blowing, Paul said in his day, if a trumpet give an uncertain sound, who's going to be able to prepare? See, there was people out there, and even among his own church, the people he was preaching to, he said, God showed me I'm going to go on. Amen. But said, there's people among you right now. Now watch this, that as soon as the opportunity presents itself. See, a lot of people wait till the opportunity presents itself. As soon as I'm gone, they're going to rise up begin to draw disciples after them. Amen. We're not trying to make disciples to anyone. Amen. We're saying we're baptized into the body of Christ, and he's the one. Amen. And how come you can't read the signs of the coming of Christ? And I'm not talking about the coming of Jesus. Christ is to come and has come. And there's a people baptized by his Spirit in the one body. Amen. And the second leg of his coming, which completes the Lord. Now, in the first leg of coming, that was the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And it gives the first leg. It says, put one foot here and one there. Two legs of the coming. And that's when Christ come as the Holy Ghost. And many great things took place then. Healings and many different things. And there was a people that saw it, but the very religious people, they put Peter in jail. They killed James, one of the James. There was two or three James there. I don't know exactly which, how it fits in there. But they were going to kill Peter. But he had the key and he had to use it, open the door for the Gentiles, many things. So he was so peaceful in the Lord. I'm so peaceful in the arms of the Lord. You know the little song? Amen. He was actually laying down, sleeping. Amen. And he was to be put to death the next day. Amen. But the angel came. And where he was at, you couldn't get in there. You know how it was, the inner prison, so on the big iron gate. And it was maximum security. Nobody could get. But here come an angel and touched him and woke him up, put thy sandals on. Amen. Watch this. Who could recognize not a single one of those religious people that was in their organized religious situation recognize the? They could recognize a certain weather. They could recognize what Roma told them to do. They knew how to get along with the Roman people there. Amen. The fact is, who built them a temple? That was that Pilate or one of the leaders there. Built that big temple there in Jerusalem. Amen. The Jews, they had it really good with them, but they couldn't recognize something. Amen. They couldn't recognize the very Christ of the Bible. Amen. The one that created the heaven and the earth standing right there. Amen. Talking to him, and they missed it. They couldn't recognize the most powerful thing in the earth that was taking place right before their eyes. It was so humble. Amen. Now we get the same thing on John. You know, I like that on John. And first when I read that years ago, I thought, how could it be, you know? When Jesus, the disciples came, they began to recognize and get a real good inkling, we would say, a real good idea that this was the Messiah. But there was one scripture that was bothering them much. Amen. Said, but Elijah's supposed to come before the Christ come, and we believe you're that, but where's Elijah? How many knows what the answer was? Yes, he's already come and did that which was written about and was listed. Amen. And he they went to the meeting because the religious people from Jerusalem sent him down. Asked him, was he the Messiah, who he was? He just said, I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness. They said, well, if you're not the Messiah, why are you baptizing the people? And on like that. Amen. But the point is, even the disciples said, we got to wait. Lord, there's something else got to happen. There's something else got to happen. Elijah got to come. And when he comes, he's going to make the mountains low. They're going to make the valleys low in the mountains. That Isaiah prophecy, you know. All these things. And says, that's got to happen first. Well, it's already happened, and they went to John's meeting. They heard John preach, and they knew about John, the greatest thing that God was doing in all the world. He was fulfilling that word of God that was that was brought into being the most powerful thing. Amen. See, there's nothing more powerful than the word whose time has come to be fulfilled. Amen. The time has come and God fulfilled it. And there they were all around it. Amen. Talking to John and asking John certain questions. Now, John, the Bible says everything he said was the word, but says he did no miracles. God can hide things or he can put things in the light, can he? But Jesus did the miracles. And you know what they said about him? He does this by the spirit of Beelzebub. Amen. Now I think about when that man raised from dead, Lazarus, Martha and Mary's brother. He was raised from the dead, and many of the Jews saw it, and they really got scared. This man's going to mess up our organization. A lot of people are following him, you know. Amen. And the Bible says they called him in and did these things, and the man blind, they'd get him in. I believe on this particular case, the man that was blind from his mother's womb, they went about to kill Lazarus, but then on the man that was blind got healed. Amen. How'd you get healed? Was you always blind? And the parents confirmed he was born blind, never have saw. Amen. Well, how'd you get healed? And he said, a man named Jesus come and put mud on my eyes and told me go wash and now I can see. Well, he said, I know this man. Said he, we know that he's of the devil. Well, the man said, now what is of the devil? Whether it's of the devil or not, or whatever that is, I don't know. But I do know one thing. Whereas I was blind, but now I see. And he asked him, how is it that you being leaders in Israel don't know about this man that's doing these great things? Amen. The greatest thing in heaven and in earth was taking place. Amen. Because the time has come for that to be fulfilled. And now nothing, no power could stop it. Amen. Then we could fast forward here and go on to the resurrection took place just exactly. Then the day of Pentecost. And then there's a scripture in, I don't have it down, not going to read here, where it says, there's a people that not call my people. They don't seek me, but yet they'll be found. The people that were not my people shall be called the people of the living God. You get that in the, and then Paul referred to it, I believe, starting 10th, 11th, 12th chapter of Romans there. He tells about the people that wasn't seeking God. And he said they don't even seek God by righteousness. But they get their righteousness strictly by faith. This Romans 9th chapter going into 10th. It says there that the Jews who had all the rituals and ways of doing things to be righteous, they were keeping them. He said you went about to establish your own righteousness, thereby denying the righteousness of God. And let that be something that we can think on. That should maybe go in your notes. Amen. The thing, if you seek it for yourself, you don't get it. You got to say, I have no righteousness. It's of God. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen. Don't mean that we don't live right. But when this come in, you can't help it. Amen. You present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God. But you're not doing it to add to your righteousness. You're doing it because that's the right thing to do, and that's what the Spirit bidding you to do. Amen. He gave us His. Yeah, yeah, that's it. Amen. We heirs would have looked in the eyes of God no matter how good we tried. It would kind of look like filthy rags, wouldn't it? Therefore, He just gave us His. He took our sin and gave us His righteousness. Thank you. Amen. Amen. But watch that. There comes a certain time whose word be fulfilled. When the time come for this word to be fulfilled, nothing can stop it. The word whose time has come. See? Amen. Now, can you see whose time has come? What part of the word? The time has come. Amen. We've been baptized into the body of Christ. Now, the last and final, I've got to wait for time. The last and final thing we get is complete salvation. Now, complete salvation is what takes place when we have a new body. Amen. In this body, until the rapture, you can have sickness. You can have pain. You can have frustration. Amen. But that soul and that mind that stayed upon the Lord, there's peace. But on the body part, amen, is not redeemed yet. Amen. But the promise is, that's what He's doing. He sounds a trumpet. Amen. And the dead begin to move around. That's Jesus brings them with Him, see. And then we find them over there in the book of Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22 to 24. They come to the Spirit. The spirits of just men are made perfect, see. Amen. And not made perfect in the sense of the spirits are not perfect, the blood making perfect, but in the sense of they're made perfect by that perfect knowledge, knowing what God's doing. Amen. Right now they can see, they hear the voice of the Son of God. That's what in St. John chapter 5, they that in the grave is going to hear the voice of the Son of God. So the question is asked, is there a voice of the Son of God in this hour? Has it come time, amen, for it to begin to take place like that? Well, if you'll read in Thessalonians 4, starting verse 13 down to 17, talks about the coming of Christ. It says, and them that are dead in Christ will God bring with Him, say. Amen. He brings them right here, and Paul said, you've come to them. Amen. Not only that, to angels. And all, you've come in that heavenly environment. And He said it's heavenly Jerusalem. Amen. Means a spiritual thing there. Amen. Well, those spirits, they go into a body. Now, I want to bring this in here. I want to get this here. The body that went into the grave, amen, it talks about sin, you know, and the death. Excuse me. Maybe I'll read that in the... Going into, that's in Romans, also in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians. All that about the corruption. Amen. It'll be sown in corruption. Amen. But when it come forth, amen, it'll be raised in incorruption. It'll be sown in weakness, but it'll raise in power, see. Amen. The body decays away. All that come forth. Amen. And God give that perfection for that body. Amen. And here's the same message we're hearing, see. And those spirits hear the same message we're hearing. Amen. They hear the voice of the Son of God. Lazarus would have still been over there somewhere in the tomb. There would have been a pile of bones where he was supposed, where they put him. Had not he heard the voice of the Son of God. And Jesus called His name. Hallelujah. He knows the name of everyone that has gone before us. And Bible says God, it calls every star by name. Hallelujah. Amen. So He's going to call them up. Now this has brought us in what we preached the other week in Area 51 into a certain area of time, see, whose time has come to be fulfilled. And when the time comes to be fulfilled, all this outer that we can discern, that we can see, and that we praise God for. Amen. We see all the players in the Middle East that's going to bring forth the very end time, make it happen. Glory to God. But rest assured, there's two men somewhere over there now. That's two prophets. As soon as after we're gone, they're going to get in their midst. They may get started a little before we leave. I don't know. But the main message after we leave, amen, there's the trumpets and the vial. You get that on the interpreted book of Revelation 8, 9, 10 through there, which I gathered much of what the voice of the archangel revealed. Amen. Through Brother Raymond Jackson, say, amen. And I gladly say I stand with him. Hallelujah. I would have not known what the trumpets was, probably, unless God just showed me mercy and revealed it, had not there been a man step forth and tell. Amen. I probably wouldn't know what the vials were and several of these things. And I certainly wouldn't have known about a 144,000 preaching the everlasting gospel, even though I had the first hand of it. Amen. I could read it, but I need that second hand. And here comes the voice of the archangel, which was Michael. He's the archangel, and he's for Israel. Glory to God, opened that up, and now it's as clear as the noonday sun. Hallelujah. So we can predict that. We know that. But then here's a part of it that brings us into another area of the Scripture. Amen. It's not when the shout takes place. It's not when the voice of the archangel takes place. But it's at the time the trumpet begin to sound. There will be a people here and they can't help it. They're ordained to hear. It'll be something in it that's just what they've been waiting for all their life. Amen, that the dead's going to be raised and we're going to be changed in a moment and at the twinkling of an eye. That's your gospel. All right, if you allow me to, and please don't let me get overtime because so I don't get overtime paid. Amen. So let's go to this year, Ephesians chapter 1, I believe. It'll be just a couple of verses here, maybe 10 through 14, I believe we'll get. Amen. It talks about the gospel. Amen. And it talks about your gospel. Okay. Amen. See, all the signs say you better step on it here. Move up a little bit. All right. Now, here's the gospel. Paul, Ephesians 1 is so good. We could you could never get through reading. But we want to pick up here. I believe we'll pick up verse 11. I'll just pick up my speed here. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance in Christ, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his will. Now that's why you see this. That's why you're here. It's not I will this and I will that. No, it's by his will. He's done been down here and saw you coming up to it and saw the decision to make and saw all those things. So it predestinated by his foreknowledge and put your name in the book before the world was. Then he goes on, in whom we have obtained an inheritance. I didn't got that, didn't I? Verse 12. That we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. Now, won't you know, that's what our life should be, to the praise of his glory. Amen. Now, how can we get loose in our living? How can we get loose in our thinking? And when Paul said, bring your mind in captivity to the law of Christ, you're in the body of Christ, and there's only one mind that counts. How many knows what it is? You have the mind of Christ. See? Amen. So he's doing all that. He brings in. Now verse 13 says, in whom also you trusted that after ye heard the word of truth. Watch. You heard. See, faith comes by hearing by the word. After you heard the word of truth, and that's the gospel for you. Amen. That's the word that God's quickening And it's a, what God fulfilled. Heard the gospel of truth. Heard the word of truth. The gospel of their salvation. I read that wrong, didn't I? Amen. There's a gospel of your salvation. And that means there's nothing more powerful than the word whose time has come to be fulfilled. And now there's a gospel of your salvation. It's not for any other generation prior or any generation ahead of us. You're going to be raptured. There's a gospel for you. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen. And you in Him. All right. Praise God. Gospel of truth, in whom also you trusted after that you believed. Ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until. Everybody say until. Now here's the part, the body itself, amen, is going to be delivered from this bondage of corruption, just like the soul is. Hallelujah, there's a gospel, and it's in the area 51, starting in the verse 51 of 1 Corinthians. Amen. Gospel of purchased possession under the praise of His glory. And I quote one, not three. In Ephesians 4, 29 through 30, talk about there your seal. Amen. Until, grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby your seal, how long? Until the day of your redemption. And I'm not going to get that, but I do have time, I believe, if I'll step on the gas here, put the pedal to the metal, get over here in Romans 8 chapter. And I'm going to leave some of this out because we won't be able to get it all. But I want to get on verse, I'm going to try to read verse 13 down if I can read fast enough. Paul speaking, for I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. They were all Christian, but there he said there's going to be glory. For the earnest expectation of the creature, the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. In other words, sons of God in their full glory. And that's with a glorified body. And then the next verse says, for the creature was made subject to vanity. In other words, it wasn't our fault that the fall took place. Yeah. Amen. We were born in sin shape. We came in here, but God made a way. Not willingly, but by reason of whom, get my glasses adjusted here. Reason of whom has subject the same in hope. All right. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of God. But I want to ask you a question. Do you feel, as your spirit tells you, the time has come? Whose time has come? The word whose time has come to be fulfilled is the most powerful thing on earth, and nothing can stop it. This is a scripture whose time has come. That the children of God will be delivered from the bondage of corruption as the souls delivered and baptized into the body. All right. Then verse 22, for we know that the whole creation groans and travaileth in pain until now. Pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also. Everybody say ourselves also. That means we're right there in the mix. Our souls redeemed. Amen. Our souls reached that perfection through Christ. Amen. Clothed in fine linen, clean and white. Amen. Now get this body here. Amen. Let's get it. But see, the body has got to come along too. The soul cannot go without the body. Amen. How many knows it? Amen. You don't want your soul going out there somewhere. If you do, God bury your body. Amen. But there's another scripture. Whose time has come? Amen. Whose time has come? Paul said, we which are alive and remain shall be changed. He said, we shall not all die. This is a scripture whose time has come, and it's the most powerful word in the earth. Nothing can stop it. All right. All right, let me finish up. We'll get that verse 20. And not only they, but we ourselves also, which have the first fruit, that's the Holy Ghost, first fruit of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves. Watch, waiting, everybody say waiting. Waiting for the adoption, the wit, what? The redemption of the body. Amen. All right. Then you go over, there's other scripture. I got more of this wrote down here to read, but I think I ran out of time here. But watch, we're waiting for the redemption of the body. Amen. Where we'll be translated into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Amen. At the second leg of his coming. Amen. When the trumpet begin to sound, it will be a message that strikes exactly true to what Paul preached. Amen. Now, Paul didn't preach seven men coming. Oh, I could go through those things, but I don't want to. I think you know that. He didn't preach it, but he told us, you get in Area 51, don't worry about what's going on out here around there. That's where they created that stilt plane. Amen. Nobody knew anything about it but what's going on. Now it flies right through the radar and don't get picked up. Amen. Now, amen, we're coming right through and the worldly radar can't pick us up. Amen. Just like Jesus, and I wish I had the time to get a little more on it, but I don't have. Amen. How he walked right among them, did exactly what the scripture said he would do, and all about it. And yet they said, you're of the devil. And some of them said, oh, Nicodemus, I believe, said, when the Messiah come, will he do more than this? You know, they said that he's of the devil. He said, are you becoming one of his disciples too? Amen. Now, he told Nicodemus, you must be born again. That's the spirit, the soul. Now, I tell you, your body must be born again. Amen. Must take on new, must be changed from this body of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. And this is a message whose time has come. One of the most powerful forces in the world today that cannot be stopped. That's right, has no worthy opponent. And notice, there will be a resurrection of the dead. There will be a translation of the living. There will be a rapture where we'll be called up to meet the Lord in the air. And whose time has come? This is a scripture whose time. This is whose time has come, and nothing can hinder or stop it. Amen. What we do is say, Lord, pour the eyesalves on me. Amen. Amen. Well, the eyesalves, Holy Ghost, it's a time. See, and you couldn't see it before time. Amen. Again, if you allow me in closing this out, Brother Brian preached on the seven seals. He said, somebody asked him, what's these seven seals about or something like that? And I'm not reading the quote here or anything. But he decided, well, I'll just preach on them. He got them all together. He said, well, that first one, that white horse rider went forth, that was probably, he said, the early church, probably this and probably that. But here's what he said. Oh, but when he come, what a difference. He said, them souls under the altar, that souls of saints that were killed back down through the ages, that would be part of the church. He said, oh, but when he come, he said it wasn't so at all. Said, that's the Jews. Amen. That was killed under Hitler and Eichmann then. And I'll never forget this story, and I'm on overtime. I'll never forget this story that Brother Jackson said. He was preaching them seals. He had several families called the Hotels Full around there. They were having some kind of sport event there, and people couldn't get, so they went to different homes. Brother Jackson and them tuck in the family. And the lady asked Brother Jackson at the supper table, so Brother Jackson, is there a possibility that the Jews that keeps the word, that's so dedicated to the word, and she knew about a lot of them, said, is it a possibility that somewhere God will have mercy on them, save them? He said, absolutely not. The Bible says, he that has the Son has life. He that has not the Son has not life. And then, lo and behold, they went to the service. And Brother Brown got up and contradicted what he told that woman. Said, these souls here, said, I thought they were the early church. The church of, he said it, but it wasn't. It was the Jews that were killed under Hitler and Eichmann, those. Amen. That's what God does. Amen. That's what God does when he moves. Amen. Do you love him now? All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, in the blessed name of Jesus, we come to you now, Lord. We just come praising you, Lord, for your goodness and mercy. And may this word go forth, and may we realize that the time for this to be fulfilled is here, and it's taking place, and we see it. For the glory of God, may you reveal this to your saints. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.